Good morning, everybody, and apologies if you can't hear me so well. Well, I've said some weeks recently, what really fantastic readings we've got today. And on this one, I'm thinking, what really, wow. Yeah, well, some very strange reading, or challenging readings we have today. But even so, they're very much about God. They tell us about God. And as a way into the readings, I've got three things I want to draw from them, or illustrations I want to bring to them. I'm not sure which way round they go. Anyway, in my bag here. So first of all, I'd like you to meet a gorilla called Godfrey. Now, this gorilla is not called Godfrey because of an esteemed member of my family I married into's middle name, who some of you have got to know, that particular member of the family I married into. But anyway, no, this is Godfrey because Godfrey is our gorilla. That's his name. Why a gorilla? It's about wrestling. And actually, the link with the gorilla is because of an interesting quote that I'm aware of by an American writer called Robert Strauss, who says, "Success is a little like wrestling a gorilla. You don't quit when you're tired. You quit when the gorilla is tired." And I suppose, well, I'm not trying to make God out to be a gorilla or anything like that. I there's something about that in the sort of wrestling we're going to be talking about. So you can forget the gorilla, really, at this point, because there isn't a gorilla in our story from Genesis. But there is a man who Jacob wrestles with. Jacob, as he's about to cross the Jabbok River and to meet his brother Esau, and the unfolding story of the Israelites is about to happen. And he wrestles with a man. But who is this man? Is it God? Well, maybe. Is it an angel, maybe? Maybe. We don't know. He doesn't know. It's quite scary to be wrestling all through the night with somebody when you don't know who they are. And even at the end, never really finding out who they are. But then Jacob, he called the place Peniel, which means that he thought it was the place he wrestled with God. So there we are. Following God will mean wrestling, or it may well mean wrestling. Wrestling with things that don't make sense, and wrestling with injustice as well. Or wrestling with questions that other people ignore or find easy answers for. But, and then again, even wrestling with God. But God made us able to wrestle. He gave us our brains. He gave us our passions. He gave us the things that mean that we want to find stuff out. We want to get an answer. We need to wrestle. God's put that in us. Sometimes we are wrestling for the kingdom of God. We're in the ring and God's waiting at the edge on the ropes. And we wrestle, and then if the going gets too tough, we can reach over and tag God. And he will take over the fight, or else he'll send someone else in to keep going with the fight. When we're wrestling for the kingdom of God, we're never on our own. I guess the woman in Luke's parable was also wrestling for that sort of thing. The kingdom of God, justice. The kingdom of God is about justice. She got what she was wrestling for when the judge, her particular gorilla, got tired and decided to give her what she wanted. Sometimes, then, we're wrestling for the kingdom of God. But sometimes, to be honest, we feel like we are wrestling with God. There are things that we don't like. There are things we would love to be different, and we're sure God would love them to be different. Things that we don't understand. We're wrestling with God for answers. We're wrestling with God for him to act. To be to be God as we know him. We're sure he is. I guess whichever it is, whatever sort of wrestling, God does call us to wrestle. And in doing so, we get to know God better. And in doing so, we get to know ourselves better. And sometimes our wrestling with God leaves us changed. It certainly left Jacob changed. He got a new name, no longer called Jacob, which means trickster. Remember when he was born, in his life story, he rushed ahead, pushed ahead. But no, he's called Israel. The word itself probably means something about wrestling with God, but also we know that that means he is the father of the nation of Israel. But as well as his new name, he also got a limp. So we can be changed by wrestling with God, and it's not always easy and it's not always comfortable. But I think Jacob would say to us that it is worth it. So there's the first thing, Godfrey the gorilla and wrestling. The second one, I just need to give you a health warning first. Be ready for my next thing. The next thing is my alarm clock. Now this is making us think about getting up in the morning, which is horrible. You're just fast asleep and then all of a sudden, oh no, the alarm is going on. And then we have this way that we know when the alarm goes off, we bash it on the head and it stops. But a few minutes later, it comes back again. Oh no, the alarm clock is by design very persistent. It's there and it's waking us up, and it often needs to be persistent to get through to us. There's a lot of persistence in the parable that we read today, that we heard today. And also, I love the fact you've got a very self-aware judge. He says, I don't fear God or care about what people think. Do you think he had that on his card? Yeah, let me give you my card. I don't care. I don't fear God or care about what people think. Very reasonable prices. Yeah. Anyway, this judge is used to ignoring people. He's used to ignoring people, maybe especially weak people, powerless people. And if you're a widow in that culture, you were certainly weak and powerless when it came to the law. The law was the domain of men, men with education who worked things out. This woman didn't even have a husband anymore to act on her behalf. She was very much at the bottom of the ladder. She was a weak and a powerless person, but she obviously had something that needed dealing with, so she didn't give up. And even though the odds were against her, she perseveres. And eventually, the unjust judge, he's had enough of all this noise, coming back again and carrying on and on and on. And even though he's unjust, he decides he needs to give her what she's asking for. Don't worry, I'm going to put this down now. If a wicked judge can be persuaded by persistent appeals, how much more worthwhile it must be to persist in praying when we're asking God, wrestling with God, maybe. Many great Christian revivals have begun because of people praying, quite often women praying. Like in the Isle of Lewis, in the Hebrides in 1949, where there were two sisters who were in their 80s, who were prayers, real prayers, and they had been praying for God to work in that community through many, many years. And in their 80s, they invited the fiery preacher, Duncan Campbell, to come and visit them. And he set up a mission there. And the rest is history. If you don't know about it, you can look it up. There's an amazing awakening that happened in the Hebrides in 1949, started because two women in their 80s were praying. How fantastic. But does this parable say that the way we get things from God is to nag him until he answers? I guess we could sort of do a surface reading and decide that is what it looks like. But actually we need to dig a bit deeper, because there's far more going on than that. And it's not really about that. Partly it's because it's made very clear in this parable that God is not like the judge. The judge doesn't fear God, and the judge cares nothing about people. Well, that's not how God is. We know God is loving and caring and compassionate, and therefore this is not God. A parable gives you characters. You don't have to put a person on each character. It's trying to get a point across. And in this parable, the person we're supposed to be looking at particularly is the persistent widow. The judge is a caricature and an amusing one. He says, I better stop, otherwise she's going to beat me up. That was an image from the boxing ring. So kind of, you're meant to laugh at this silly judge and the things he's worried about this widow for. If you look actually in the context in Luke, last week we had Naaman here, but the other reading that went with Naaman that we did in the first service, it was the reading where 10 lepers are healed by Jesus. And then after that happens, You've got Jesus talking to people about the kingdom of God. The Pharisees ask him about the kingdom of God. And then a bit later he talks to his disciples about the kingdom of God. And Jesus says the kingdom of God is in our midst. It's here. But also, it's still being waited for. And we still need to be patient. In fact, we need to be very patient. Jesus says to his disciples when the Pharisees have gone off, the time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you'll not see it. He's saying, stuff's happening now, the kingdom is here, and in one way the kingdom goes on being here. Jesus set that in place, inaugurated it, if we're going to use a word like that. But actually there will be times when we say, well, where is the kingdom? It is here, but also we need to be waiting patiently for it and praying with persistence for it. The passage goes on with Jesus saying, talking about God bringing about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night. This is about us praying for God's kingdom justice, praying that for ourselves like the widow did, praying that for others, praying that for the world. And yet we are in a time when we will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but we won't see it. It means that it doesn't always happen as we pray that it will. There's a not yet about the kingdom of God in all its fullness, as well as the kingdom of God being in our midst, as Jesus said it was. And this means that we can have faith and hope to pray and pray with perseverance, but we do need that perseverance when things don't happen and don't work out and the answers don't come as we hope that they will or expect that they will. More of that at the end. I'm just leave that there for now. God asks us, Jesus asks us to pray with persistence. And actually we need that persistence. Our lives get so ridiculously busy now. We need persistence just to make time to pray. And we need persistence to keep praying for the same things regularly when they still need praying for. That's what this woman had as she came to pray. In the parable, she came to ask again and again. And of course, the other thing is that God is God, and we need to persist in listening to God's Holy Spirit, because sometimes the Holy Spirit will steer us in following the Spirit's lead to pray differently from how we have been persistently praying. The Holy Spirit guides us in how we pray, and sometimes that actually changes how we pray. We need to be persistent to listen to the Holy Spirit, especially when we've got something we are persistently praying for, just to listen in case the Spirit is saying, just pray differently. That can be a challenge, and it's also a difficult thing to work out. And I think that's where it's really good to have people around you with whom you can talk about your prayers and your hopes and what you understand that God might be saying. If you've got a prayer partner, if you've got a home group, you can turn to them and say, I've been praying for this thing, as you know, maybe. But I think God maybe is saying something else. What do you think? Do you think I'm getting this right? It's so good to have other people you can talk to about your faith and your prayers and how you're hearing God. And if you haven't got the opportunity of having somebody you pray with, a home group to go to, just do think about that. Prayer partners and home groups are so key to many people's lives of faith. Such a blessing, they really are. So just think about that as we think about prayer. Now let's think about a couple of reasons why this woman might have stopped. The woman in the parable could have given up even before she started, because she had seen the judge's business card. She knew there wasn't really much hope with this judge. The judge didn't care. The likelihood of success was really small. But that is not a reason not to pray. The likelihood of success. I'm not saying that God is like that judge, but actually when we think, that's a huge thing, can I really pray about that? Actually, that's not a reason not to pray. We should pray for big things. We should pray about what happens in politics. We really should. We should pray about conflict around the world. We should pray about our fragile world and those ever so complicated things that need to change. and change so broadly for this world to be looked after better, way beyond us, way above our pay grade, way beyond anything that one of us can do individually. And yet we should pray for these big things. And then the things that are really big to us, and they are really big things, the friends, the neighbours, the family, we would love to hear and understand and respond to the good news of Jesus, the love of Jesus who saves us. Those sort of big prayers. We should pray, keep praying. However much it looks hopeless, we should pray them. And then the woman in the parable could have given up because after a long time, she still hadn't seen any results. But that's not a reason to stop praying. We're told to pray and not give up. That's how this parable is introduced. Keep praying for God to touch this world, to touch lives with his amazing, loving power. The things we care about, the people we care about. Pray that God would bring his salvation, bring his healing, bring his peace, bring his transformation. We're called to be persistent. So we had a gorilla, we had an alarm clock, wrestling and persistence. And finally, and not very noisy, an illustration in two parts. I could have brought something much smaller than this. I was meaning to bring one seed, but as it is, I found a whole thing full of peppercorns. And since the seal hasn't been broken yet, I didn't want to say, oh, I broke that seal so that I could show people what a peppercorn looks like. So you know what a peppercorn looks like. And then here is a postcard. You can't see it. It's got a mountain on it. In fact, it's got some lovely mountains on it. So, a seed and a mountain. That's my last illustration. Jesus said at the end of this parable, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Well, what would he be looking for if he's looking to find faith on earth? In Matthew 17, Jesus says that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Now, there is a plant called the black mustard plant that starts with a seed smaller than a peppercorn, and it grows to be taller than I can reach. And Jesus uses it as a model of the growth of the kingdom of God and a model of the power of faith. You only need a little and you can achieve a lot, or in fact God can achieve a lot. This is not anything about we do with our cleverness. This is about what God does, because it's God's kingdom and God's work. But it will take being persistent, and it takes remembering that you're in the same wrestling team with God, and he's waiting on the ropes, and you can reach out to him at any time. If we pray, if we wrestle, if we explore, if we grapple with God and grapple for God, if we take our small offering of faith and hope and give it to God, that's what faith is about. Then we'll see God's kingdom come and his will being done. And then God will find faith on this earth. And I could stop there. But when we talk about prayer, there is this elephant in the room, which is about all those prayers that haven't been answered, the unanswered prayer. And so I'm going to finish, not with me, but with a video from a guy called Pete Gregg, who is talking specifically about unanswered prayer. Pete Gregg is a wonderful gift that God has given the church in this generation. And he speaks so well, and his experience is so deep in the whole business of prayer. And I want us to watch this now. But actually, in the new year, we are hoping to have a series on prayer, which we'll use some of Pete Gregg's thinking to kind of frame our series. Some videos we may watch, certainly an understanding of his we may hope to bring and share amongst us. We're hoping to do it on Sundays and also in home groups, just to get us to really think about prayer. But just have a listen to Pete Gregg, and then I think you'll find yourself looking forward to what he'll be helping us to understand in the future as well. If all is well, we should get Pete. We'll get a dot on the screen, yes. And then we'll get Pete starting to talk straight away. Are you ready?
The reason I have to wrestle with unanswered prayer is because I believe in prayer. If I didn't believe in prayer, then I wouldn't have a problem with unanswered prayer. But it's because God does answer prayer, it's because miracles do happen that sometimes we have to get our heads around the fact that they don't always. I think there are three reasons why our prayers sometimes don't get answered. And I always say it's to do with either God's world or God's will or God's walk. God's world, some prayers aren't answered because just God set things up to work the way they do. C.S. Lewis says that by definition, miracles have to be relatively rare. Because, for example, if every time a hammer was falling towards the toe of a Christian, and God's a loving father and he made the hammer float, then the world would be full of floating hammers and that would not be a good thing. So some of our unanswered prayers are just to do with God's world. And that can be very painful if a political system is voted into power that makes corrupt decisions and we're damaged by those decisions. That is to do with the way the world works. The second reason sometimes our prayers don't work, though, is to do with God's will. We think we know what is right, but actually we don't necessarily. Billy Graham's wife once said, "I'm so glad God doesn't answer all my prayers, or I'd have married the wrong guy at least three times." You know, we all at times have prayed things very passionately, and only with later hindsight do we understand why God didn't answer our prayers. And the Bible says God's ways are not our ways. And sometimes, of course, that can be agony. If you're praying for someone to be healed and they die. In my own wrestling with my wife Sammy's epilepsy, and you say, "God, how can her having another seizure make any difference to anyone anywhere except it just is agonizing?" So it can be very difficult sometimes to understand God's will. But we know it's always loving. And then the third reason why sometimes prayers don't get answered is to do with God's war. We are in a battle and God's will gets resisted. When a girl is raped, when a child is trafficked, that is not the will of God. Don't believe anyone who says that's the will of God. He is love. And so we know that God, even though he's God, doesn't always get his will done. There is a battle on. And that's one of the reasons we have to pray, because in prayer we wage warfare and we pray, "Let your kingdom come, let your will be done," because it's not inevitable. And so that's why we want to pray for the persecuted church. That's why we want to pray for people to come to know Jesus. That's why we pray for the sick to be healed. That's why we pray for an end to human trafficking, because we are in a battle, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. So there's three reasons. God's world, sometimes it's just the laws of nature. God's will, sometimes God's got a higher plan. And then there's God's war. Sometimes just God's will is being resisted and we have to pray it in.
So let's learn to wrestle. Let's recognize that wrestling is part of our faith. Let's be persistent in prayer, and let's remember that what starts small and weak, God can make grow because of his kingdom, because he's there beside us. Most of all, let's pray. Amen.